we'll read about right now, but he nonetheless had a pretty heavy cold or the flu. So yeah, I think it's not a problem.
We're Japan there. Coming at you straight from Wave Farm.
WGXC, Acre 90.7, the beat.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400, or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM, listener-aided and embedded radio.
It's getting hot in here. Welcome.
All right, hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from the reverse COVID-19 quarantine of the Catskill Makers Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill, also known as that weird place right next to the Juice Branch. We are here to answer any science or technology related questions you may have. You can contact us at catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. You can also reach us at our website, which is located at www.thingularity.tech. That is thingularity.tech. And here we have the members of the Makers here tonight. And if the audio sounds a little funny, that's because we have a new rig tonight. We're testing out new software, new delays, and an entirely new flow to our studio, I guess you could call it now.
It's not quite Tai Chi, but Chai Tea. I don't know.
I'm Cody. Hello. I'm sitting way far away.
Yeah.
I guess we can still hear you.
It's almost like being in the room.
I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben. Now we know your voice.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm Jill.
Hi, Jill. I'm Corey.
Oh, boy.
All right. And we're in the middle of a fun drive here at WGXE. So anybody out there listening, if you happen to feel generous right now, you could give us a call at 518-697-7400, and we will be happy to take your donations. Right now, we're really looking for sustaining members, because those are the ones that the station really, really likes.
Well, yeah, it'll keep us from having to pitch so much in the future.
Yep, we got our tower secure, but, you know, we do this, and no more pledge drives. I mean, if we get just a few more, you know, I think like a couple dozen more sustaining supporters, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, we're asking for, you know, only 17 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's less than Sally Struthers wanted.
And the more you guys give, the more of us you get. Apparently that's the way it works out.
Yeah.
Not sure how much that's worth to all the five people that are listening to us, but sure. I guess those five people are going to have to dig deep. There are other ways that you can do the donations for WGXE. Of course, we can go online to wgxe.org and click on donate. It's just that easy. If you are old school and you like the snail mail, you can mail it in to WGXE, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405. And says here that WGXE is a program division of Wave Farm. Donations are tax deductible to the full extent of the law.
Yeah, write it off on taxes.
So if anybody's having some trouble battling with the salts issue out there, then...
The salts issue?
State and local taxes. The deduction for people that basically pay mortgages.
Oh, okay.
And if they pay enough of a mortgage, then basically the Trump administration cut off the top end of their return. So you can't really make more than $10,000.
Wow.
As far as I know, don't really quote me, but that's the tax situation last time I looked into it.
Ahoy.
Interesting. Ahoy, ahoy.
So anybody got
politics,
any projects?
And financial science in the middle of this. Go on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess the soapboxes come out during pledge drive. It's a lot easier to climb up on them.
Didn't we have something that we wanted to, or did you want to bring that up later?
Oh, right, yeah. Hey, if you mention that you donated because of our pitch, mention Casco Maker Syndicate, we will offer you a personalized workshop where you can bring in your project, whether in any state of doneness, whether it's you're just ideating on it or it just needs the finishing touches. We'll give you free access to the brain trust. Just donate.
For what it's worth, ladies and gentlemen,
mention our name.
That's it.
Or the better weather.
Yeah, or the better weather. Weather. Yeah, if you
or
like that too.
Geek.
Or Forgotten Geek.
That's right.
You have a lot of options.
Mention the one that you like the most, and WGXE will let us know. Although that premium apparently was offered through the Catskill Maker Syndicate. So
yes. Oh, well.
You're not going to get special treatment if you mention the Forgotten Geek. Maybe just some comic book recommendations. Okay, anything in the news that we want to talk about?
No, no.
What's our timing doing? We're doing good.
Yeah. I mean,
news stuff.
We had the world's first cloned cat passed away. Name was CC, copycat, passed away at 18 years old.
Its name was CC?
Yes.
Adorable. 18, that's not a bad lifespan for a cat, as far as I know.
And a cloned cat at that.
Well, how do we have any information on the cloning method?
Oh, dear.
No information whatsoever. That's all proprietary. Don't you know?
Because
that cat was owned.
Its genome was owned.
Using nuclear transfer of DNA from cells that were derived from a female domestic short hair named Rainbow.
Okay,
what
so they basically took a female and made her fertilize her own egg, essentially, so that she would gestate another female clone of herself.
That's cool. That's real cool.
That's the easy way to clone something, if you like think about it. Otherwise, You're doing it manually, and that's going to be externally, and then you got to probably gestate the creature yourself. And that leads back to those bags of amniotic fluid I was talking about in one of the previous shows that you can grow a land fetus to turn in.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Now, when they get up the transporter cloning, that'll be something. Well, transporters will be something, too.
Oh, transporter cloning?
Yeah, you feed your cow into the transporter, then you got like 50 cows.
Yeah, except you don't kill the original.
Mm-hmm. No, you get to kill the other 50.
It's like how you can start off with a circle and then discombobulate it into different pieces and make another circle out of it. Or, sorry, a sphere. Never heard of that? I can't explain it. I wish Albert was here so I could
this
just
is
hand
the radio.
It over to
him. We don't have a chalkboard for the viewers to see.
Yeah, I know. If you're interested in how you can take a sphere, this mathematical object, and disassemble it into an entirely new sphere while keeping the original sphere, look up the Banach-Tarski paradox.
If you have brain cells to spare.
Yeah, I mean, well, we all do, don't we?
Hey, that's why we go drinking.
To get rid of them?
No, because we have them to spare.
Oh.
I mean, if we didn't have them to spare, then, well, you would just be in trouble, wouldn't you? You'd end up like, anyway, I'm not going down
levels.
That road. We're going to talk about something else.
Yeah, let's. Let's talk about the proteins in the meteorites.
Oh, yeah. let me see. Out of my memory, there was a meteorite that fell in around 1990 that landed in someplace on the other side of the planet. What you got there, Cody? Where was it?
Someplace on the other side of the planet. It's not quite on the other side. It fell in Algeria.
Algeria, that's where it was.
That's not quite the other side.
Okay, but, same hemisphere, but still. We're still northern hemisphere, but it was in the western hemisphere.
Yeah.
So, anywho, that meteorite, which they finally got around to studying in Massachusetts by a private company, and this is a private company.
Well,
so we haven't been...
Harvard played a role. They're named as a co-researcher.
This was a private company.
Yeah, okay, yep. I see that.
I
Plex
read
Corporation,
that out this morning on the...
Plex Corporation, Bruker Scientific LLC, and Harvard.
And Harvard University. Okay, so, I don't see how that has much bearing on it, because we should still basically distrust the findings of any single scientific study.
This but you is only have so many meteorites. Right?
Poppycock!
How many meteorites are you going to find with proteins in them?
Oh, dude, that, we don't know. This is the first one. And
right.
It's not even like a standard protein.
Special.
This is a jacked-up protein that you will not find on this planet. It has other chemicals that are incorporated into it. And beyond that, the thing has absorbed a bunch of deuterium.
Deuterium?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So,
that's weird.
From I remember reading, it was a deuterium-infused protein. Novel protein, because we haven't seen it yet.
Ooh.
It's a whole new type. So if it happened to be a component in life somewhere, that's the googly-eyed monster that you see on Star Trek. It's going to be not like us, and I mean really different. You know.
Yeah, no rubber forehead appendages.
No rubber foreheads? Yeah, just some odd protein that makes more of itself when it encounters the raw material.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, we already have that. It's called a prion.
Mmm. Oh, and they love to unfold other proteins, don't they?
Infectious ones.
That's called mad cow disease.
Or chronic wasting, if you're a deer hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for that.
Yeah. That's the protein, and you can't cook that away. The proteins stay
nope.
that way.
To destroy a prion that causes transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, you have to heat it up to at least, like, 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow. Okay, so there's nobody's stove is going to be that hot.
No, you're going to need, like, a butane torch or something.
Hmm. I mean, traditionally,
that's a big
cooking
torch.
Meat, you get up to, you know, in that nice, safe range of 145 to 160, going from pork to, say, poultry, that's not going to kill the prions. What kind of tissue are these located in? These aren't normally found in muscle tissue. They're found in neurological
you can get
tissue.
You can get it for muscle.
Great.
Isn't
so,
it?
Could you elaborate on that so we can scare our listeners a little more?
Well, a
where
prion
these,
is a protein.
Proteins come from?
Where do they come from? Outer space. I'm just kidding.
No, that's the other protein. This is one of the good old homegrown ones.
Yeah, it's actually something that your body makes naturally in order to break down different compounds, like harmful compounds, and also to deal with infectious agents. But sometimes they misfold. Because when you see a protein in its natural state, it's all coiled up. Like those little artist renderings that you see on like Wikipedia or whatever, of this little blobby thing.
Gotcha.
That's usually based off of denatured stuff. Like they put it under an electron microscope and dehydrated it, subjected it to metal.
So it's not going to be what you find in natural.
No, it's all coiled up. And so that's just long chains of amino acids that are folded up. So if they're misfolded in this certain way, and they come into contact with another...
Oh, don't be distracted. I'm just playing Castlevania.
I am distracted.
I'm sort of listening to you. I'm just not...
Yeah, it's like building the pressure on poor Cody.
No, it's terrible. But anyways, if it is misfolded in this certain way, and it comes into contact with another prion protein that isn't infectious, it will misfold that properly folded prion protein, thus being a self-replicating misfolded infectious protein.
And what happens to the host, i.e. the person that ate that meat?
The person?
Yeah.
Oh, they might get Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease or Alzheimer's or dementia. Things are a little more serious.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, they're all prion-associated diseases.
Awesome. So, if anybody out there is worried about COVID-19, here's just a whole other thing to add to your plate.
Yep, it's just a distraction from the prion agenda.
Now, not for nothing, are any of the vegans out there protected from this sort of thing?
I don't see why being a vegan would protect you other than... you have less contact, like less opportunities for infection. You're presenting less opportunities for infection, but you can probably still find it in deer pee. Like if you found if a deer with chronic wasting,
okay,
peed on the ground,
say some onions, and you ate the onions. Okay, you can still get it. But then you're not technically a vegan, are you?
Not intentionally. You're being a carnivore, I guess. Or a vegetarian, I should say, because you're not eating
meat.
Not to
split hairs.
Yeah, not to split hairs or anything.
Okay, we got some new
devices
coming out from Honeywell. What do we got here? We talked about the Google.
I just fuzzed your brain, didn't I?
Well, we can talk about our pledge drive that's happening right now. If anybody wants to give a call and help us out, it's 518-697-7400. You can visit wgxc.org/donate. Help keep creative, hands-on radio on the air. With people like us. Anybody has a voice. I like that.
I mean, what else costs more but means less? WGXC's support is comprised of small donations, contributions of $10 through $50 from a wide range of supporters. Our monthly sustainers currently contribute an average of $13.95 a month, or roughly 47 cents a day. We are listener-supported radio. Our funding comes from a broad spectrum of listeners with diverse interests and financial situations. Says the promotional material before me right here. And don't forget, your contributions are tax-deductible, 100%.
Yeah, man.
Not only that, but if you need to speak freely... Are you always going to be able to go to a commercial institution to be able to do it?
Yeah, folks, basically, if you're...
This is community-owned.
If you're
consuming the community.
Media, it's basically funded by one of three entities. You're going to pay for it, ads are going to pay for it, or a special interest is going to pay for it. And one of those three things is basically going to own a whole lot of people's opinions. So if you want to spread your own personal influence on the world... One way to do it is to contribute here at WGXE.
Right on.
Right on.
And it is community radio, so if you have your own ideas for something interesting, give the heads of the radio station a ring. Might turn into something cool.
Yeah.
That's how we got here.
Do some radio dramas.
Radio dramas. Oh, we could do sound effects. We could help out.
That would be fun.
You know, I noticed a lot of the articles that we've collected for this month is they're mostly biologically related.
Oh, yeah? What was
yeah,
that?
I mean, we have the solar storms might cause the whales to crash into the beaches. We have
Oh, we haven't talked about that one yet.
We had the one we just talked about with the protein, the strange protein from outer space.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I was just watching a thing about why whales explode.
Why they explode?
Yeah, because, you know, when whales are beached, they tend to explode. They say don't stand right. on them, don't poke them, don't do anything, because a lot of, they don't have any,
don't drive
their
them
holes are all closed because they're used to being underwater. So they don't, gas doesn't escape like it would a land animal.
They're a whole bunch of bladders sealed.
Yeah, so,
literally.
You know.
Plus when it starts decomposing, then it starts building up gases.
That's where the pressure comes from.
Yeah, that's where the pressure is, and it builds up largely in the head, so you can, if you stand on the head and it's full enough, you fall through, you're going to be, you know, chest deep.
Or more.
Yeah, you're not going to have a good time.
Oh my gosh.
Drowning in whale guts.
So they're kind of like a bounce house.
But a little gory.
But like the opposite.
Dead whale
like
bounce house.
Like if it was a hungry bounce house.
Well, like it's sealed, I mean, so you could like bounce on it, right?
That is until the membrane ruptures.
Dead whale bounce house, brutal.
The way they get beached sometimes in the first place is the solar storms throw off their...
Oh yeah, it turns out...
It blinds them.
Right.
It's not so much blinding, it's that they have a compass-like structure in their brains, but unlike, say, mammals and birds, it's not like a little pit of iron with some sensory organs around it. It's more like a chemically-based magnetic detecting mechanism, which when certain frequencies of, I guess, solar radiation leaks through solar flares, when they get through, they basically fry their ability to tell their direction and they get beached.
Or even the incidence of sunspots.
Yes.
Hmm. Sunspots also influence it.
Saying here, it's possible that the reason the whales are stranding so much more often when there are solar storms is because they have gone blind rather than their internal GPS is giving them false information.
Okay. So then we need to do an experiment. We're going to put a big old blindfold around the whale. And we'll see what it does. Is it swimming in circles? And then if we beach it, then we get to try out Ben's idea.
Bounce
we
house.
Turn it into a bounce house.
Oh, no.
And we see how long it lasts.
You guys.
Limited.
Cody, you got any sort of... I mean, not that it would really be different than the regular subject matter, but you got any sort of bio break over there?
I do. I definitely do. And it, you know what? Interestingly, it does have something to do with... waterborne animals swimming in circles.
Amoeba? Protozoa?
Neither.
I was talking to some people about
called a mixozoa.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a genus of jellyfish that they discovered does not need oxygen to live.
I heard about that. It's somewhat parasitic?
It's totally parasitic. It infects, I believe, salmon. And what it does is it uses the jellyfish stinger-like appendage to attach to the salmon and get into it. And then it, once it's established... The salmon just swims in circles. Neat, right?
I thought the salmon survived.
Oh, sure, they survive for a while, but they tend to swim in circles.
Is there like an explanation for the biological mechanism? Like, is it like deteriorating part of
mind,
its brain?
Mind control? I don't know. It's
so. Is that similar to the that fungus that takes over ants in South America? turns him into a
what's it called?
Zombie.
What is that one called?
Doesn't toxoplasmosis do that as well?
Toxoplasmosis is different. That's...
But it influences behavior.
It does influence behavior. I'm not sure what this is.
Okay, that's not helping.
It's a parasite transmitted by cats. To humans, anyways.
Yeah, that's like pregnant.
But generally, the life cycle is from mice, then to cats.
I get the feeling it starts as it's something of an elm, you know. And maybe it ends with mitosis, but...
Yeah, it's interesting what it does. It makes the mice... they can't resist the smell of cat urine.
Oh, yeah.
Thus
yeah.
extending, you know, thus completing the life cycle from cats to mice, then back to cats, and so on. But sometimes humans are the unfortunate recipients of Toxoplasmosis gondii.
But it does not make humans attracted to cat.
No. I don't
you
think
sure
so.
You sure about that?
No.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if there's any
Have
studies
Have you ever
that
heard
done.
Of the cat lady? Have you ever seen all the pictures on Instagram?
Okay.
Are you sure these people aren't all infected with toxoplasmosis and it's just forcing them to love
well,
their cats
what's interesting,
more?
What's interesting is that men who are infected...
I've read a study that this is the case.
They make bad... They make, like, dangerous choices. Like, they're more likely to be into motorcycles and skydiving, say. Just basically putting their bodily, you know, well-being in danger.
Doing it all for the kitty?
Doing it all for the toxoplasmosis. So if you have a cat, clean your cat's litter box within a day.
Or you will be skydiving.
Within 24 hours, you're going to be skydiving,
Swayze.
Motorcycling. You're going to be diving out of a plane on a motorcycle.
And it affects 33% of the world population.
33%? Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, wow.
Let me just take a second to tell everybody that most of you people listening are probably not washing your hands right. If you go to wash your hands, and it takes you less than 20 seconds to do, and you are not scrubbing under your fingernails every time and interleaving your fingers and scrubbing every last inch of those hands, you're not doing it right. So go back, try it again, and don't worry about antibacterial soap. It literally does absolutely nothing. Regular plain old soap is all you need.
And now you can sing Happy Birthday twice without getting sued. It went public domain.
That's right. We can finally have that song in movies now without some sort of weird, embarrassing alternative. Everybody's heard it. The alternative
yeah.
birthday songs of people. Anybody watching Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah.
They came up with like three of them.
Really?
Spirit Journey Transformation.
Spirit Journey Transformation.
Man. It's like watching a movie on TV that has a lot of cuss words, and they don't bleep them out. They just say words over them. That,
up, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, when you try to do that with something like Goodfellas, it doesn't work out as well.
Oh, yeah. I think the last time I watched Die Hard 2 was partly because it was on, like, a local UHF station, so when they were playing one that was clearly, they were playing a dub that was clearly made in the early 90s, and... No. I mean, especially when him and Dennis Franz are going off on each other, you know there's originally saying something much worse.
Die Hard is the best Christmas movie ever made.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. You see, everybody laughs. Everybody that laughed at what I just said has watched that movie on television. Does everybody remember what television is?
No. I hope not.
You know what? I recently hooked up an HDTV here in Catskill, and I was able to get 11 really crisp HDTV channels, and some of them were actually pretty decent.
Yeah, well, you're right in the sweet spot, so...
I'm at the base of the hill.
You're in the sweet spot.
Chris gets the same stuff over by his house, and he's out in Cairo.
I don't know.
About the same.
Huh. All right. You guys sidetracked me. Well, whatever.
Sidetracked you from what?
The jellyfish.
Okay.
It doesn't need oxygen.
Please continue. Finish up for the listeners.
All right, I'll finish it up. So they found that a lot of species, single cell organisms, don't have mitochondria, which is basically what we use in our type of cells to live, produce energy. Use energy and other.
You mean that powerhouse that is found in the cell of every known living creature?
I hate using that term.
Why?
I don't know.
It's that's just, where they get their energy from.
It simplifies things because it does other things too.
It does,
it,
but
it has detoxification processes. It has essential enzymatic processes. You know what? It just simplifies it too much.
Keep going, please. But, inform me how uninformed I am.
Well, a lot of those processes in other organisms don't exist. Or at least they don't exist as they exist in ours.
Well, then the mystery becomes, are those processes compromised in this new creature since it doesn't have this
organelle? Well, it doesn't seem to need them. It doesn't seem to need them. It operates differently. And there's, you know, dozens of organisms out there that...
Do you think we might find an alternative organ inside it doing pretty much the same thing or several different functions?
I think,
Or has that been ruled out?
I think it has a different biochemical energy synthesis. Just different. Does the same thing, but in a different way. It affects the same changes. But they're also formed different. Some of them have, like ours, our mitochondria have crenellations. They're kind of like an air filter. I don't know if you've seen a paper air filter.
So like a piece of paper folded in like an accordion.
Yeah, like an accordion. Okay. Some of them are flat. And there's just all kinds of things that... There's all kinds of variations that show that... Nope, I lost it. I'm sorry. My train of thought is gone.
Maybe. Sounds like a great time to remind our listeners that they're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM radio for open ears, currently in the middle of a fun drive.
Yeah, this is the Thingularity radio program out of the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And we are trying to get enough sustaining supporters to keep us on the FM, most importantly. We have a lot of things to run here. But
save the radio tower. Save the radio tower.
We don't have a Doc Brown at the moment, so we need you.
But with your help, one day maybe we can afford one. And trying to help out WGXC, we're offering a premium here at the Catskill Maker Syndicate. Cody, you want to let people know what we got for them should they become a sustaining member?
Yeah. We're going to give you a personalized workshop where you have access to our brain trust, and we'll focus our attention on your project in any state that it's in, whether it's just your idea or it's almost a finished thing. We'll help you work on it.
So, think about your projects, folks.
Anything drop that coin.
To mind, do so, and then you can come on over here, and we will do whatever we can to help you out. And now we're going to help ourselves out by taking a quick break.
Hey everyone, listen up your attention if you please. We want to give you a warning, cause I found out this morning about a dangerous, insidious computer virus. If you should get any mail with the subject stinky cheese, under no circumstances should you open it, or else it will translate your documents into Swahili, make your TV record chili, neuter your pets, and get your laundry static clean. Look out, it's gonna make your computer screen freeze. Look out, erase the Easter eggs off your DVDs. Look out, erase your hard drive and your backups too, and the hard drive of anyone related to you. Alert, you need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on to everybody. Soon, very soon, it will make all the pain peel off your walls. It'll make your keyboard all sticky, give your poodle a hickey, and invest your cash in stock in Euro Disney. Then it will tie up your phone, making crank long distance calls. It'll set your clocks back an hour and start clogging shower, so just trash it now, or else it will decide to give you a permanent wedgie, legally change your name to Reggie, even mess up the pH balance in your pool. Look out, it's gonna melt your face right off your skull. Look out, and make your iPod only play Jethro Tull. Look out, and tell you knock knock jokes while you're trying to sleep. Look out, and make you physically attracted to sheep. Look out,
steal your identity and your credit card.
Look out!
Buy you a warehouse full of pink leotards.
Look out!
Then cause a major rip in time and space and leave a bunch of tweaky rappers all over the place.
That's right, it's a virus alert.
You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message onto everybody.
Virus alert.
You need immediately before someone gets hurt.
We are back here at the Thingularity radio program. To anybody listening, this is WGXC, and we are in the middle of a fun drive. Anybody wishing to contribute to that fun drive can give us a call at area code 518-697-7400.
Or visit wgxc.org/donate. Once I said donut, and I liked that a lot better.
It sounds a lot more delicious.
I know.
So, donut here at WGXC.
Phone number?
518-697-7400. And if that was a little too fast for anybody out there, the phone number is 518-697-7400. Alternatively, there is the snail mail option. You can mail it in to WGXC, care of the Waveform at P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405. All donations are tax deductible.
Yeah. All right.
So, the song was about viruses, right?
What song?
Our Weird Al song.
Yeah.
Oh, we have that.
Thought Virus Alert might be appropriate this week.
Yeah. This month. This past month. Well, we have a virus alert for you. From our esteemed friend and colleague, Ben.
Ooh, virus of the technical kind.
Well, not necessarily a virus, but more of a vulnerability in Wi-Fi equipment. So there's a bug called Crook.
That's and, with two zeros.
Yes. There's a little lead in there to make it authentic here. So basically it affects about a billion devices. It's mostly centered around Broadcom chips. There's patches for it, so that's the one positive.
A billion devices. What kind of devices? Are we talking routers?
It's
either one, right?
Routers are access points based on the Wi-Fi chipset that you're using. So, I mean, it's the WPA2, which sort of underpins most of the security on these devices.
Everything. Everybody out here listening has a very, very, very good chance of having a WPA2 encrypted Wi-Fi network in their home.
Yes, this is very true. I mean, most of the cable companies and ISPs will dump those out on people's houses.
By the way, if you don't have WPA2 security, I can get in even faster.
Like this.
Yeah. Don't do WPA. Or WEP.
Well, yeah, I mean, WEP is, what, 128-bit? I mean,
WEP security's been cracked to the point where you can just get into a WEP network, like
nothing.
Seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
On a crappy laptop, too.
Yeah.
So well, we're talking WPA2, the one that's securing literally everyone out there. Ben, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, so it basically allows you to decrypt the traffic that's going back and forth between two devices so they can eavesdrop on you. So it doesn't affect too much of internet traffic because most of it's HTTPS at this point, but they can still see what you're looking at and what you're doing on your network and then probably send some poison ART packets out there and ruin your day. So
what you're saying is if you're browsing the web and you see that little green padlock in your browser, you're probably okay?
Yeah, for the most part, you're okay. Because it's a secondary layer of encryption. It's, you know, basically assume that you're on a network where you don't trust the other actors upon it.
Also, like, for someone to pull this hack off, they have to physically be within range of your network.
Yeah, they actually have to be able to send dissociation frames to your device.
They need to have Wi-Fi
access.
Basically,
it forces it off of your network, forces your device off the network. So,
that's like the old school hacking method where
right. You
force a deauthentication and then you catch the handshake when they reconnect.
That's kind of like that, yeah.
And then you brute force the handshake data, and that can get you your WPA key.
Yeah, but for some reason, the next key in the buffer to use, I guess, would be all zeros with these vulnerable chips. And a list of the devices that are potentially vulnerable are the Amazon Echo.
Ugh! Wait, random key of zeros?
Huh?
These things could be cracked with the key of zeros? Is that what you just said?
That's what he said.
Crook exploits a weakness that occurs when a wireless device dissociates from your access point. Alright, so if either the device that got dissociated is, or the access point is vulnerable, it'll put any unsent data frames into a transmit buffer, then send them over the air. So rather than encrypt this data with the session key negotiated earlier during your normal connection, the vulnerable device will reset your key to all zeros, which makes the encryption trivial.
So basically, the security just gives up and says zeros.
Yeah, pretty much to reassociate. Yeah, it goes, oh, actually, we're just going to use zero.
Was anybody that created this architecture, I don't know, forced to commit suicide, give up a pinky? Something reasonable for such a horrible mistake?
Shall I continue with the device list?
Sorry. Yeah.
The offenders who should have, well, certain bodily parts cut off.
I can think of a few.
The Kindle 8th Gen, the iPad Mini 2, the iPhone 6, 6S, 8, and the XR. The Apple MacBook Air Retina, 13-inch, 2018. The Google's Nexus 5, 6, 6S. The Raspberry Pi 3.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks, Broadcom.
The Samsung Galaxy S4, GT, blah, blah, blah. Just don't even use that old phone. Samsung Galaxy S8.
I like using the old Xiaomi phones. I got an S5, man.
The Xiaomi Redmi 3S. And also,
that's okay, they come with coronavirus preloaded.
And there's a few Huawei routers and an Asus router that's vulnerable. Alright, there you go. That's our virus of the day, or our vulnerability of the day.
Oh, thanks, I think you just invented a segment.
What, virus of the day, vulnerability?
Let's make it broad, like vulnerability of the day.
Okay.
Because that could even be something biological, like, say, a spreading virus.
Corona-chan.
Gosh.
Has anybody heard of Corona-chan? No, nobody?
Let's not go into that.
Maybe that's
now I'm curious about
there.
This.
Just check the Telegram feed. You'll see all kinds of images.
Yeah.
That Joe's been posting.
By the way, anybody wants to get in on the secret messages going along amongst the Catskill Makers members?
Secret, not secret.
You can find us on Telegram.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give out the numbers exactly, but get a hold of us, we'll let you know. It's the only way to talk to us, mainly. And if you don't use Telegram, well, the government knows everything you're saying.
There is news out of South Korea.
Oh.
They're all switching to Linux because Windows 7 free support is no longer. So, you know, South Korean government's going to
South Korea.
Windows 7, don't a whole bunch of ATMs around the country still run on that?
I wonder what the ATM down the street...
but can we not talk about the financial system and how absolutely messed up it is? Oh, wait, actually, let's. How about your ATM still running, like, Windows XP embedded?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I know, I was being hopeful saying Windows 7. There are really bad instances out there.
Nobody even... I never see that anywhere.
All no Windows 7 embedded boxes. All the Windows boxes. Software is just scary.
That would
to me.
Be fancy.
Windows 7? Fancy.
Oh.
You know, this is the Thingularity radio program, and anybody listening, and if you have any questions for any of us down here at the Casco Maker Syndicate, questions regarding anything from charging, discharging, leaks, plugs, data destruction, data reconstruction, motors, from Wi-Fi to welding to waffles, just give us a call. Whoa, that's right, we don't even have a phone, so you're going to have to email us. And the email address is catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can reach us at www.thingularity.tech. You can talk to us, but we can't talk back. So if you do send us a message on that, give us some contact info if you want us to let you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the actual phone that you can call is 518-697. Oh, no. Did something happen?
We lost something.
Right side.
Whatever. I think we're still transmitting. So anybody that gives a call to area code 518-697-7400 is going to be able to make a donation to WGXE while we get some things figured out here. This is a little bit of tune.
It's back now.
Yeah, it's fine. We're good. You probably just kicked it a little bit.
I'm starting to suspect our headphone setup. Anyway, it's good thing we got that background music for this episode. Makes it a little less boring.
It makes the horror more whimsical.
So what's interesting is that South Korea is actually following in North Korea's footsteps.
Yeah.
So North Korea, long time ago, made their own Linux distribution to use for their government computers and whatnot.
Smart.
Because they don't trust anybody else.
Red Star
Linux.
But I think that's mostly like... really big business people and government and stuff. I think the regular people still use Windows, like they use XP or 7, but the Red Star is for like important people. It's like the official,
the 1% or the edition,
the people who have cars maybe, but yep. They just South Korea doesn't want to pay Windows anymore for stuff.
Can you blame them?
Good
I don't blame
them
at all. I wonder what they're going to name their Linux distribution.
I don't know.
I'd use it.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to see.
DMZ?
Yeah.
DMZ.
Okay, Corey, you got some history for us over there.
Sure. Okay, DMZ. So this month in science history, March 1st, 1954, the U.S. tested Bravo, a hydrogen bomb with the power of 1,000 Hiroshimas. On the Bikini Archipelago in the Marshall Islands. One atoll was vaporized within the 100-mile-wide mushroom cloud, and fallout exceeded predictions, rendering the site an unsafe wasteland for decades.
Now, if you want to see a documentary about it, called Radio Bikini.
Yes, that's it.
It was made in the 1980s, and it had people who survived that. They were like 20-year-olds out on a boat exploding the bombs underwater.
If you want a nice little depressing documentary about
it's
it.
Absolutely depressing, but worth seeing.
Oh, totally.
They survived, but with dire consequences?
Yes.
Oh.
Burns? Or is it like radiation?
Radiation effects.
Yeah.
Like... really bad. So,
So Radio Bikini's our recommendation. March 2nd, 1959, the Southern New England Telephone Company in Connecticut tested a push-button phone. March 5th, 1868, C.H. Gould patented the stapler. I don't know if it was a red stapler or not, but it was a stapler. March 6th, 1869, chemist Dmitri Mendeleev published his first version of the periodic table of elements. 1950, Peter Hodgson took General Electric technician James Wright's failed attempt to make synthetic rubber and marketed it as Silly Putty. March 7th, 1897,
Dr. John Kellogg served the first cornflakes to patients at his sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Because he wanted the blandest food ever, because he wanted people to not be randy.
Yep, because several years later, his brother added sugar and started marketing it, and, you know, that led to a lot of lawsuits.
And there's a movie about that, too.
Yep, Road to Wellville.
Including yogurt enemas, if I do recall correctly.
Yes, absolutely. Several a day.
It was actually kind of a
yeah,
movie.
That's what I was expecting.
Yogurt I never saw the movie. I just know what happened with the Kellogg's. And, ooh, there's some interesting people with some interesting
there
theories.
There were Seventh-day Adventists, so they had a lot
that's
of
that's one
weird
way to take your probiotic.
Exactly. They you know, the theory and thinking behind it is entirely crazy, considering you're shoving a whole bunch of healthiness into you in some spots that might not be. Yeah. Sorry, Corey, didn't mean to
it's
distract.
It's quite all right. March 11th, 105, Chinese court official Sei Lun invented paper through a combination including standard bamboo with other fibers, mulberry, and rags. Lun became wealthy and influential for this, but the Chinese Game of Thrones eventually led him to end his life through poison. Mm. 1918, in Kansas at Fort Riley's Army Hospital, a private checked in with what was determined by week's end to be the first U.S. case of Spanish flu. 600,000 would die in America and 40 million worldwide before the pandemic was ended.
Over there, over there.
March 12, 1894, Dr. John Pemberton's nerve and brain tonic slash medical elixir Coca-Cola went on sale nationwide for the first time. The original formula was lime, cinnamon, Brazilian shrub seeds, and coca leaves.
By Brazilian shrub seeds, do you mean the cola nut?
That's what I was raving, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if coconut was in it from the beginning.
No, no, cola nut.
Cola.
Yeah, as soon as it came cola out. Woo-hoo! The first sound, 1923, the first sound on film motion picture to phonofilm was demonstrated by radio tube inventor Dr. Lee Forrest. Dancers and musicians were shown with music, but no dialogue.
You can look up Vitaphone shorts.
Oh, yeah.
They're very, very easy to find online. They're freely available, and Eddie Cantor does one from 1923.
Oh, yeah, very cool. March 13, 1781, English astronomer William Herschel detected Uranus, the first planet discovered through a telescope, but he thought it was a comet at first. March 14,
1794. Sorry,
not.
Okay,
good. Eli Whitney was granted a patent for the cotton gin, revolutionizing the textile industry. 1839, Herschel's son, Sir John, lectured on his version of Henry Fox Talbot's calotype process, coined the word photography to describe the concept. March 17, 1885, Dr. Frederick Trevis presented a medical report to the Pathological Society of London on the extreme deformities of Joseph Carey Merrick, a.k.a. the Elephant Man.
Oh, Elephant Man.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyone great know what he had?
Elephantitis.
But yeah. Caused by what?
Something more specific, and unfortunately I didn't keep the notes in here.
Drinking bleach like all the people trying to avoid COVID?
A lot of the time it's infection of the lymph fluid.
Yes,
by
that was it.
Mycobacterium, which is basically a cell wall deficient bacteria.
Yeah, it had something to do with his lymphs, yeah.
So was he like, did he get like bad infections and like his lymph nodes were compromised? Or was
his
he
entire, like his lymph fluid. They were living in his lymph fluid, his lymphatic fluid.
So he was host to a bacterial infection.
Right.
And that's what that is.
Generally of the same type that causes methicillin-resistant MRSA.
So I was going to say, so if this guy just took a bunch of antibiotics, he would have been okay?
No.
Okay. Because that would have been really sad.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's some nasty stuff, and it's hard to get rid of.
Okay.
When you start looking like Elephant Man, you got problems.
Okay.
Please continue, Corey.
March 20th, 1987, the sale of AZT, the first authorized antiviral drug to prolong the lives of some AIDS patients, was approved by the FDA. It was originally created as a cancer treatment. 1916, Einstein's theory of general relativity was first published. Let's see. March 22nd, 1981, RCA began selling the Selectivision video disc, which could play a two-hour movie on a 12-inch record.
Okay, these are weird. Yes,
yeah.
Discs on
I'm sorry,
yeah.
What?
These are one on vinyl, right?
Yeah, these are the ones that are more.
What?
Yes, they and you can't touch them or anything, but it cuts your movie in half, too, though. But it was, it was pre-laser disc. They're like, how can we play a movie on vinyl? They figured it out, and then VHS came out.
What did they look like?
You can actually find them at one of the Ravenna junk shops. They've got a bunch of them.
What?
Yeah, they're like $20 though. But
you mean the thing to play it or the
The discs themselves? Oh, okay. There's Harold and Maude. There's a bunch of movies.
Yeah, how do you play it? And what is it?
Good luck finding the thing to play.
I know someone who has a disc player. You slide the cartridge in, and then it slides the disc out inside of it.
Oh,
reads
my gosh.
Side one, and then you got to flip to side two, so all your movies are kind of cut in half. But you know.
Laserdisc style.
Sort of, yeah. But without...
even Laserdisc eventually, I think, got to where they could do a full movie on one side.
Mm.
Let's see. Yeah, it was. They had started making it in like they got the patents in 1972, but they weren't able to release it in the early 80s. And by that point, yeah, VHS and Beta were out. So
that's it. Beta killed everything.
Yep. March 24th, 1976, on advice from medical experts, President Ford called for a $135 million program to distribute swine flu vaccinations.
Mm.
March 28th, human and mechanical errors at the three-mile nuclear island nuclear power plant outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, led to a partial core meltdown. Though some radioactivity leaked into the air, disaster was avoided.
Disaster being stuff getting into the Hudson River?
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that.
It was
leaving out. March 29th, 1974, farmers digging a well in China discovered a terracotta army of Emperor Qin Shi Huangdao. March 30th, 1858, the first U.S. patent for a combination pencil and eraser was issued to Hyman L. Lippman of Philadelphia. So that's why pencils have erasers.
What year was that?
1858.
Okay.
Pencil and eraser.
And March 31st, 1918, after its introduction in Great Britain as a wartime fuel saver, the U.S. began observing daylight saving time on Easter Sunday. 89 years later, the start was moved up 3 weeks later, or 3 weeks earlier.
How does that save fuel?
Back in the day, okay, there was no air conditioning.
Air conditioning
is the great offsetter of the actual energy savings this time. But back then, what you were saving was candles.
Right.
You were saving basically candle stubs
or oil.
Or oil, and at the end of every day, you'd have a little bit more left over because you had an hour less of burning, and nobody cared about the morning.
It was like the early electrical, late gas light era, so that's probably because candles were expensive. Most people didn't use candles for, they were only for special occasions.
And rich people.
Yeah, so you made rush lights.
Interesting.
You might get some bacon in them.
Okay.
And the principle basically carries forward, where you're not burning your electric lights as often, and you're not... But the problem is, nowadays, lights aren't incandescent anymore. They're LEDs. They're not consuming anything. And since you get home, and your home technically will be earlier compared to the solar noon, you have more heat to deal with, and in the summertime, higher air conditioning bills.
Yeah, I think people were already starting to feel it was outdated by the 90s, and now especially with, LED and everything else.
Yeah, and it sticks around because in the spring everybody's like, okay, this is nice, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get an extra hour of light, and it's forward, so you get a free hour.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait, you lose the hour. You jump over the hour, and you lose the hour in the spring.
Yeah, spring forward, fall back, So, if you're, we'll say working at night, ooh, one less hour to work.
Oh, that's right, you have a 25% increased chance of heart attack the day after daylight savings in the spring, and a 25% less chance of heart attack in the fall because you get that extra hour of sleep. So if anybody out there thinks your sleep isn't important, it's that important. 1 hour equals a 24% increase in your chance of getting a heart attack.
Nobody you can sue.
Edison, the power company for changing your time. If anybody is listening outside of our regular times, which is 7 to 8 on the first Thursday of every month, you can send your questions to either of our contact points at any time convenient to you, and we will happily answer you on the next episode. Once again, that contact info is catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and www.thingularity.tech. Remember, that one's a one-way message. You have to include your personal contact information for us to get back to you. We're also doing the WGXC Pledge Drive. Please give us a call at 518-697-7400. And we will take your donations there or quite easily at wgxc.org click on donate. I believe they take credit cards and any other interesting methods of payment over there. PayPal.
Awesome.
PayPal makes it nice and easy and anonymous for you. That's
deductibles.
And that's how you keep us going, because WGXZ, it's an experiment. Like most of the things that we do and they air on their radio waves, it's all an experiment. And it's that money that keeps it going, because one day everything might go quiet. And does anybody have anything else to close out with for the night?
Thank you for everyone who has donated so far.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sustaining supporters.
We love you.
Thank you for...
Singapore.